WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief, NPR CEO Catherine Maher is speaking out after the Senate passed a bill early today to cut $9 billion in funding for foreign aid and public broadcasting.
The primary impact of this potential rescission is going to hurt communities where they need support most, which are rural stations.
The measure now goes back to the House. CBS News confirms the Justice Department has fired federal prosecutor Maureen Comey. Correspondent Scott McFarland.
She's the daughter of former FBI Director James Comey, and she handled, in part, the Sean Diddy Combs case and the Jeffrey Epstein case.
A lightning strike killed an instructor at an archery range in New Jersey. 13 were injured, including a 7-year-old fellow instructor, Gene Grodsky.
The parents all ran to their kids. The members that were standing ran over to try to support the people that were down. I ran to go to get the defibrillator out of the clubhouse, and oddly enough, we just got it like a 2 months ago.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK News brought to you by the Summer Splash Dog Show at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to July 27th. Fun for the whole family. WaukeshaSummerSplash.com.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Shali Pittman. Will he or won't he? There are rumors that Governor Evers will soon announce whether a third term is in his future. He could announce it as soon as today or tomorrow. The governor's fundraising report filed this week showed just about $750,000 in the first half of this year. One Republican candidate, Bill Berrien, is already spending more than half that amount on a round of ads. Workers at SC Johnson & Company are coming to Racine County by the end of next year. It's according to reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The company is relocating 170 employees here. They're coming from Chicago. They'll work out of a building in Mount Pleasant that the company bought last year. And residents of Franklin are getting letters about an attempted data breach. The city says an outside party tried to access its network last August. There's no evidence anyone's personal data was accessed or misused, but the city is offering free credit monitoring and also adding new cybersecurity measures. The city is talking about cybersecurity at their Common Council meeting in August. Two of Wisconsin's three veteran housing centers are set to close due to a budget shortfall. The Chippewa Falls and Bellevue sites will shut down in September unless lawmakers act. The Union Grove location here in Racine County will stay open longer. Governor Evers proposed funding to keep the housing centers open in his budget proposal, but lawmakers removed it, and the bill was signed. Lawmakers have introduced a new bill to cover the gap that's left and prevent the shutdowns. And the plan is to storm the Bastille at sundown. Milwaukee's Bastille Day Festival gets going today in Cathedral Square Park, offering French food, live music, and the famous Eiffel Tower replica. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Shali Pittman.
An update on the Brewers' Sal Frelick. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers head to L.A. to play the Dodgers tomorrow night, but their starting right fielder and leadoff batter, Sal Frelick, may not be able to play. An MRI showed Frelick suffered a minor hamstring injury Sunday against the Nationals, but for now, he's day-to-day. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Hurt my heart, you know, like he's such a key cog in this whole thing. That just ruined my day.
NBA, the Bucks have re-signed backup center Chris Livingston to a one-year deal worth $2 million. That comes after losing Brook Lopez to the Clippers following seven seasons in Milwaukee.
You know, free agency came. Everything happened pretty fast, but looking at my options, I was just thrilled the Clippers reached out. They've been a great team quite a while now, you know, and there's just, you know, a great chance to win a championship here.
The Bucks lost to the Bulls last night 102-98 to close out their summer league schedule. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. Cooler and less humid today after a wet and stormy Wednesday. Increasing sunshine with highs near 70. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows near 60. A great finish to the work week. Friday, lots of sunshine, highs in the mid-70s. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Bring the whole family to the Waukesha Kennel Club's Summer Splash Dog Shows at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to 27th. Enjoy exciting events like dock diving, fast cat racing, obedience, and the thrilling best of show competition. It's fun for all ages. Check out the vendors and find the best pet supplies for your furry friends. It's the perfect weekend for dog lovers and families alike. Sponsored by Royal Canin at 540 AM WAUK. Visit WaukeshaSummerSplash.com for all the details.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome wonderfully Wisconsin's Paul Vandenplas, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. Then I'm joined by Jason Mansmith from the Thrasher Opera House. We're going to light a Thursday like it's a Friday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, July 17th, 2025. It's a busy weekend. I mean, last hour we talked about, you know, Country Jam here in Eau Claire, Bastille Days in the Milwaukee area, the Hayward Lumberjack Festival. I listed all the various county fairs that are going on as well. And we're still not done. Robin Tigerton reminds us that Pulaski Polka Days is starting. Roger on Facebook tells us the Portage County Fair begins today. Alicia says it's Paper Fest this weekend in Kimberly. So there's just a lot to do here. Rob goes on to say good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 54, got 9/10 of an inch of rain. Severe weather was mostly south of me. Watoma had more than 3.5 inches. Highway 21 was flooded on the east side. He says, I have an eye appointment today in Wittenberg, probably a candidate to wear glasses, and then 3 yards to mow in the Tigerton area this afternoon. He says, I think the meteorologists like Brittany and all in the media did an excellent job with severe weather coverage. It brings back memories of tracking storms on my road maps when I was a kid. Let's see. And he goes on to talk about Nicolette Larson being an awesome singer, also with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And he says, have a fun time, Brittany, at EAA. I hope and pray you have nice weather there. And that takes me over to, oh, wait a minute. We've got Alicia saying, my oldest and I are going to the EAA schedule last night, planning our days. Air Venture is almost here. And on the text line, Jim in Brookfield, have a great time at EAA next week, Brittany. I hope the weather cooperates. I remember flying there from the Waukesha Airport in a four-seater Piper with all the spotters on the ground communicating with us along our flight path. We never had to say a word on the radio until we landed. This is contagious stuff, the way that people feel about Air Venture, and count Brittany among them.
I am definitely one of those. I had no idea what it was the first year that I went, and all it took was one day, and I was hooked, honestly. I'll suggest, on if you want to go on a day and you're wondering which one, because there's just so many, Wednesday and Saturday, they have a night air show, and it is one of the biggest that I have ever seen. And they've got the drones doing their things. They have a special ending with some explosions. It's amazing.
The good kind.
Yes, the good kind, the planned kind.
Yes.
So it is just a super fun time. Lots of people, good people. You'll learn so much. The technology that goes on with these airplanes is outrageous, and it goes beyond that too. So I'm so excited. Camping is going to be so much fun. Just the fact that I have no power, though, is going to be very, very interesting. This is dry camping.
You really rough it for this.
Every single one of us, there's only a few power sites, so we're out there for the good.
So Brittany will be off tomorrow getting ready for that. Hopefully we'll be able to hear from you at a couple of points along the way next week as you enjoy it all. And before we get into today's weather, just letting folks know that Corrine Hendrickson is standing by. We'll talk to her in just a couple of moments. State Senator Jeff Smith at the bottom of the hour. But as mentioned by Robin Tigerton, y'all were busy yesterday tracking something like, what, 10 or 12 different possible tornadic systems out there. What's the report by the time we get to this morning, looking back at yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday was wild. It started earlier than we had thought. Right around noon in Dodgeville, we saw a funnel cloud and a tornado touchdown that continued into Sauk City, Fall River, Beaver Dam, Fox Lake area, into Fond du Lac, even funnel clouds being reported. And that was around 3:30 in the afternoon, also into Hustisford, Lemon Wire, many, many places dealing with a possible tornado that touched down there. Lots of video, lots of pictures out there of proof. Also, winds clocked 50 to 60 miles per hour, knocking down trees scattered throughout the southern half of the state. And then flooding towards the Fox Valley. Onalaska got 1.63 inches in 1 hour. Just 1 hour. So from La Crosse to the Fox Valley, a good 2.5 to 3.5 inches were reported there. Madison area, about 1 inch to 1.5 inches. But Wautoma, cars were reported stalled with water over the hoods. Highway 21 was impassable between Coloma and Wautoma. And also Nina, creeks were overflowing, water going into backyards and basements. Same thing into Oshkosh. The EAA grounds are flooded, but they have really good draining systems. But Fond du Lac, Stockbridge, Manitowoc, all flooding situations there. We're drying things out today. Thank goodness. We need it. Fog still in places like Hayward and Ashland. It's about 41 degrees up north, 64 degrees into Racine. It feels like fall. That's going to be the case today. Very crisp, upper 60s to low 70s. Lots of sunshine. And we are looking at tall waves on Lake Michigan. So a beach hazard statement out there. Be careful of rip currents. Otherwise, tomorrow, another little system wants to start bringing rain possible far, far north tomorrow afternoon. And then that line could build and swing south through the state as we go through the late afternoon. Otherwise, a little bit of rain chance does linger, maybe mostly south on Saturday. Sunday, we are looking at a little bit of rain possible south, but northern parts of the state, we're dry all weekend and we're a little bit warmer, upper 70s to low 80s.
All right. Well, Brittany, have a great early start to the weekend. Wonderful time setting up at EAA. And
thank you.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to check in with you a couple of times here.
I can't wait. Talk to you guys then.
All right. Sounds good. Let's visit now with Corrine Hendrickson. We've talked to her several times before about the crisis of affordable child care in Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers tried to, well, he first did use a lot of federal pandemic relief funding to help keep the child care industry from collapsing. He also proposed something in the state budget, but the resulting deal between Evers and Republicans in the legislature fell short in some areas. For example, child care. And in our next half hour, we'll talk to State Senator Jeff Smith about where the budget fell short in terms of homeless care for veterans. But let's stick to child care now and bring Corrine in right now, because Corrine says she finds herself at a professional crossroads, essentially, as a result of what is and what is not in the final state budget. Corrine Hendrickson, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm all right. I'm enjoying the cooler weather.
Yes, it's definitely a big relief compared to, you know, feeling like the mid-90s or triple digits or anything like that, especially if you're watching a bunch of kiddos all day.
So. Yeah, we're outside. We're at the park for swimming lessons, and it's been hot. So today, now those poor kids are going to freeze when they're in there.
Yes. Well, look, it is... mostly thankless work. Thankfully, there are enough other parents and folks in the public who are becoming increasingly aware of, you know, the value of this industry and how it is in real crisis right now. But you talked to us, you know, last week about the state budget bill and, you know, how it only provides 1 year of partial relief compared to the governor's original proposal. So now you've had a chance to evaluate things further. And so you were nice enough to come back after having thoroughly reviewed things to tell us what you think it all means for, you know, child care on the whole in Wisconsin and what it means for you personally.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on. What it means for all of us in childcare and the families that we care for and educate and their employers who have those parents employed, is it still going to be a disaster? Cindy, who's up in Green Bay, is one of our WECAN members, and they're calling this program a bridge. First off, it's a bridge to where? To nowhere. But she actually said it's a plank in a pond payment, because it's not a bridge. It's just one lonely board floating in uncertainty. And that really hit, because it's not what Governor Evers is saying. He keeps saying in these press releases that, you know, this is going to make childcare more affordable. It's not. We are raising our rates. I sat down and did my math. And in order for me not to take a $15,000 pay cut due to ages and the loss of 20% a month, I had to raise my rate $60 a week, which would be $350 for children under two and $320 for two and up. And in New Glarus, it's not tenable. I've lost three children so far due to rates. Two of them were on subsidy. And so last year I struggled to fill my three spots, and it was September. I was starting to think I might have to close, and I couldn't do it again. So I talked to my parents this last week, let them know that I'm not going to be able to, I will not be able to morally try to stay open and try to fill three spots with parents that I'm like, yeah, if I'm still open, you can have a spot. How do I do that to them? How do I do that to their employers? They think they have a spot, but they're not sure. They're going to keep looking, as they should. And so I made the difficult decision that August 29th is my last day. I was able to get the kids that I have here into another group center, because at that time, that's when they have turnover and that's when they have openings. So my four kids are probably going to stay together and they're going to be able to go there. But I am now trying to figure out what I'm going to do. One of my kids on Monday, she looked at me, she goes, Corrine, why don't you get to be a teacher anymore? And that just about broke my heart, because that's what I do. And then another parent asked me, they're like, oh, we're all going to the same place. And then they're like, what are you going to do? And I said, you know what? I haven't figured that out yet. So that's the way that all of us in this field work. We think about the children and families, and then we think about ourselves. And so now I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do next.
I my heart is breaking for you and for these kids and for these families. And it's not just you. You're not the only provider who's looking at this.
It's all of us.
And making a rather difficult decision. And look, even if there's follow-up legislation, because we talked about how the funding is really only there for 1 year. But as you've mentioned before, that's a lack of security that you can no longer live with. And who knows how many more are only going to be in business for one more year.
Right. And that's the other thing is all the providers I'm talking to across the state, they're looking at raising their rates $10, $15 a week, maybe more now, to try and keep the teachers they have, or the family childcare providers. They're looking for second jobs so they can stay open. That is not okay. We work 50 hours with kids already, and then we're supposed to go and work somewhere else so the parents can afford us. That is not okay. And our state should not be making these decisions. If they actually cared about kids, they wouldn't do that. And so, yes, we are still fighting, and I'm not leaving the advocacy world. I actually will have more time, so that could get fun. but we're working on, there's a standalone legislation, SB 222 and AB 317. It's the standalone for $480 million to make us whole again. Had we gotten that whole $480 million, I wouldn't have had to raise my rates at all, because it would have covered all of that. And so we're still fighting for that. We're still saying it. And now what we want is our providers, our parents, and our employers to call Governor Evers and call their Dem and Republican representatives and tell them every time, my rates just went up 20 bucks. I just lost an employee because their rates went up. Because that's what it's going to take, is until they see it and feel it, they don't understand, and they don't have the empathy, and they don't have the imagination. And that's not okay either. So that's where I'm at.
You've been asked, to consider, I mean, you're already way out there visible on this issue, but to consider, ramping things up further. I've seen this happen with people all the time. You're an advocate for something, and people say you should keep being an advocate, maybe on, even an elected level. Is that one of the options?
Yeah, actually, I am one of the now I think we're down to four potential Senate candidates in SD 17, which is Mark Lyons district. I am thinking about it. I am pursuing a potential run, and I participated in a forum last week and will be participating in more forums throughout the this area of the state that the counties are putting on. And I'm excited that real people are interested in running, because we do need real people who actually have conversations, meaningful conversations, and relationships with actual people, instead of staying in their bubble and listening to what all the experts are saying that what is what we need and what we want. And that's how you end up with what we got. There was no transparency. None of us were at the table to say these policies are terrible, they're awful, and do not harm the children. Do not do this to the children. Don't put us in these situations. And for what? A plank in a pond? It's not, you can't run a business that way. And on top of everything that's happening at the federal level, this is only going to just, continue to make us descend into, despair almost. And part of what I like is the hope of working towards something else.
And that's, I don't doubt you'll do that in some way, shape, or form. And please keep in touch on what those plans would be. Corrine Hendrickson, child care provider, soon to be former child care provider in New Glarus. Corrine, thank you. Hope you have a good day.
Thanks.
We appreciate your time so very much. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, State Senator Jeff Smith about something else missing from the state budget bill. That's all coming up live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Are you or a loved one facing addiction? The Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline offers free and confidential support 24/7. Powered by 211 Wisconsin, local trained specialists can help connect you with local service providers for treatment, peer support, harm reduction tools, and more. Call 211, text your zip code to 898-211 or chat at 211wisconsin.org. Help is waiting. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes
right.
In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Whether we're talking football, basketball, baseball, college, high school, professional, Civic Media is your home for sports. I know you might not think that, but it's true. Go to civicmedia.us/news, and you're going to find all of our sports coverage there. And right now, the Brewers are red hot. Bucks are gearing up for the 2025-2026 season. They already did some drafting, and now it's time to play the free agent market. And to get further into this topic, Don Rosen sat down with Civic Media's very own Mike Clemens to get into all the nitty-gritty and all the details on what the Bucks may or may not be doing when it comes to acquiring free agent picks for the team in the upcoming season.
Well, look who decided to come into the studio, not on the phone. Mike Clemens, our sports guy.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to see you again.
Oh, good to see you.
Now, I'm sitting in the chair you actually sat in for 8 years doing mornings at WRJN.
And I got to tell you, there's a difference between coming here at about 8:30 in the morning for a scene and 4:30 in the morning. It kind of doubles the time. You know that? I didn't quite realize that. Yeah. Like, I should have left the house a little bit earlier today from Mount Pleasant.
Tell me about it. No. Coming in early. Okay, the NBA free agency. Let's talk about that.
Tuesday was just crazy. Could you sort of tell in my voice and doing the updates every hour? Free agency started. It's actually what they call the tampering period, where legally you can start calling other teams or players, making out deals, and then the actual free agency come in and all these guys will sign these deals that they've verbally agreed to in the last 48 hours or so. Anyway, no one thinks that the Bucks are going to be able to do anything because they've given away all these draft picks. Over the next 5 years, they've made big trades. They've traded other players. But they're in such a pickle right now because Damian Lillard is going to be out for the next year. So they all of a sudden it's a breaking news. And ESPN there is on this TV set saying, yeah, we think Giannis wants out. You know, he knows that the Bucks have their backs to the wall. Just reporting, Miles Turner, who helped lead the Indiana Pacers to the finals this year, right? At center, 6'11", a free agent. He's leaving the Pacers. He's got to deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. And these guys are all looking at each other like, we thought the Bucks had no options left. You know, salary cap, giving away all the trade picks. What is going on? Yeah, 4 years, $113 million. It's like one of the biggest deals in this free agency period.
I remember when I was a kid watching the Hollywood Palace TV show. You remember the Hollywood Palace?
Yeah.
It was like a variety show. And they had, I'm trying to remember, it was Mickey Mantle, and I don't know if it was Roger Maris, but they wanted $100,000 to play baseball.
Right.
And they went on there, and they had a song. They were singing to pay us our money, pay us our money. Yeah. We want to. That was $100,000. Uh-huh. They were two of the biggest baseball players, not only in Yankee history, but in history. And they were just fighting to get $100,000.
So all these NBA insiders are sitting there on the set for over a half hour with hot cameras on going, can we double check this? How are the Bucks able to do this? I don't know. What is going on? And they just think there's something. And the next thing I would say here, and the Bucks are waving Damian Lillard, the guy who's going to be out for the next year with the torn Achilles injury. And they're like, well, wait a minute. So is that, but they still got to pay him. No, guys, you all didn't read the collective bargaining agreement. On page 15, you know, paragraph 3 is a little thing where a team, if you're willing to waive a guy like that, and you can pay him, you can stretch the payments or adjust it if the player agrees to it. That's how you can get out and make the room, the salary cap room, to bring in this guy from the Pacers. So John Horst not only looked like he had his back against the wall and probably was going to lose Giannis, you know, who'd be disinterested and go to another team. He takes away from one of your competitors, the Pacers, who have become a real rival, takes away their center and moves on with that. Signed another guard, too, out of the Orlando Magic named Harris. And re-signed two or three of these players, you know, like Gary Trent Jr., a point shooter. He's a point guard. He's got signed a two-year deal with a second-year player option. So basically, John Horst has added the center. Brooke Lopez moved on to the L.A. Clippers. He's 37 years old. And so he's got a younger group of guys around Giannis to give it one more run. You know, now they also gave away two more picks like in 2030 to make one of these deals. But at the end of the day, the Bucks really pulled a rabbit out of the hat this past week.
We absolutely appreciate all the time, energy, and expertise that Mike Clemens puts in to get those sports stories to us, because we want to know what's going on and we want to get that to you. And you can find out more, as I said earlier, by going to civicmedia.us/news. Look for our sports section and you'll see reporting from Mike and a whole host of other great journalists getting all the top news stories to you. But go to civicmedia.us/news for that. And if you want other sports reporting, you can always come to Matt and Air on Air Thursdays at 10:30. We always have one of our sports gurus here, whether it's Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company or J.R. Radcliffe from the Journal Sentinel. They're here every Thursday, 10:30 on Matt and Air on Air. Check it out. And if you can't join us live when we're on the air, and this goes for any show on Civic Media, you can always go to civicmedia.us/shows and download episodes to listen on your device later, or go to your favorite podcast distribution center and subscribe to them as a podcast. And whenever a new episode is available, it's delivered right to your device and you can listen to it anytime, anywhere, because we know you are busy. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Dairy commodity prices might be a little soft, but that is not dimming optimism in the dairy industry by processors. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We are seeing an explosion of dairy processing plants being built in the Northeast. Katie Burgess, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, says, and dairy producers in that region are thrilled.
You know, we have a couple big plants growing in the Northeast, a Fairlife plant. Later this year, Chobani invested some big amount of money for expansion in the future there too. So I do expect that we're going to see milk production grow in spots like that. I know dairy producers that I talked to in New York are really excited about the new investment in the dairy processing industry in their state. Elsewhere, you know, we have had new cheese plants open up in Texas, Kansas here over the past 6 months, some expansions elsewhere that we are continuing to see. Dairy producers look to expand milk production, especially around those new plants.
Katie Burgess, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg. Now, dairy yesterday was pretty quiet in Chicago. Barrel and block cheese were both unchanged. Double A butter down a penny at $2.53 a pound. What's happening on a Thursday morning in the marketplace? We've got those numbers next.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most, your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
All right, in current overnight activity, Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 40 points. Right now, we've got September corn up a penny, December new crop up a penny at 425. Soybeans for August are up 2, November new crop up to 1022. September wheat is down a penny at 540, December down a penny and a half at 560. Currently, the Class 3 milk for August that goes into cheese up 7 at 1753. September Class 3 milk currently up 9 at 1827 a hundredweight. So, just a quick snapshot on what's happening as far as the markets and the influence on the market so far for a Thursday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bourbons. Cooler and less humid today after a wet and stormy Wednesday. Increasing sunshine with highs near 70. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows near 60. A great finish to the work week. Friday, lots of sunshine, highs in the mid-70s. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller.
I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. If you're an artisan or ever wondered about Northern Wisconsin art, you'll want to tune in. We'll be at an artisan studio in Butternut, live on location. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Don't forget you can sign up for our newsletters, plural. Yes, we've got weekday newsletters. We've got a Sunday morning newsletter I put together all about Wisconsin politics. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com to learn more. Hit subscribe up in the top banner. We'd love to have you as a subscriber there and as a podcast as well. Head to Spotify and follow the show. All right, we've had a lot to say about the state budget, a lot of it about what's in it, a lot about what's not in it. You heard from Corrine Hendrickson in our last half hour that what's not in it is enough child care relief to keep her in business and probably a lot of other folks as well. There's something else not in the budget that caught a lot of people off guard, and that was help for homeless veterans. Seems like rather a slam dunk for Republican lawmakers who are all the time wrapping themselves in the flag, but took Governor Evers' request and turned it to $0 and never did anything else about it. Did they forget? Was it just out of partisan spite? Can this be fixed? Let's find out by checking in with State Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire County town of Brunswick, where he joins us now. Senator Smith, good morning. How are you?
Thank you, Senator Kreitlow. It's good to see you today.
I love the fact that now that you're in the Senate instead of the Assembly, that you use the courtesy titles because you understand senitude, you know.
Well, it's really actually very rare, but for you, I know how important it is.
Yeah, so very important. It's more important for me to be a captain of the pontoon than it is any other title here. Jeff, I don't know how to start on this because I can ask you all the background about how this got missed from the budget, but maybe we'd better start with explaining what it is that we're talking about here. What is the program, or what was the program, you know, that was helping homeless veterans?
So it's the Veterans Housing and Recovery Program. I got a couple things here just to read that what their goal is to help veterans achieve stability, increase their skill levels and or income, and obtain greater self-determination to reintegrate back to the community. As we know, when veterans struggle with whatever they've been through, whether it be overseas or in battle or whatever, fatigue, we owe them whatever we can to help them reintegrate back into society and have a comfortable life just like anyone else.
And so what had the governor proposed? What had been going on, you know, up until this state budget?
Right. So we have three facilities in the state right now. I believe one is Mount Horeb. The others are Green Bay and Chippewa Falls. And in Chippewa Falls, actually, the facility actually is the largest they have 70% of the population of those three facilities are in Chippewa Falls, and that and Green Bay are the ones that will be closing because of the lack of oversight by the Republican Joint Finance Committee.
So the governor proposed how much to put in the state budget for this?
He proposed $1.9 million to be in the budget to keep those facilities going at full speed, and they zeroed that out like they did so many things. And I don't want to, I don't want to be too harsh. Maybe they overlooked it. Maybe they didn't realize when they were just zeroing everything out that was going too. But we gave them an opportunity on the floor. I introduced an amendment on the floor to bring that amount back, but I still think that they were in this giddy, well, we're doing this to the governor and we're taking everything out, and they weren't really listening. I guess I don't know, they totally just missed that one.
But there was like one Republican senator who voted for your amendment to fund the homeless veterans,
and that's right, that's Andre Jacques, because it affected his district as well in Green Bay.
Okay, but every other Republican voted against it.
That's right.
And if there was, the reason I come at it like this is that, look, this is out of spite and for no other reason. This is why they zero out the things that Governor Evers proposes. And then they have come back in and either put a lower amount in, or they've reconfigured things. Like the child care funding is a classic example. They just did not want to put anything into child care counts because that was Governor Evers' baby. So they and the governor eventually agreed on some other funding mechanism, and they put the funding in there. it wouldn't seem like this needed that. So yeah, it was either an oversight or it was just, I mean, they just blatantly did not feel like these homeless veterans deserved care anymore. Have you heard any kind of feedback, firsthand, secondhand, from your Republican colleagues? Or is this a big old oops and they're going to rush to support some kind of a trailer bill with funding?
Yeah, it's actually kind of pathetic. We have heard from our colleagues on the other side of the aisle that claiming that, well, you know, there was a 15% increase to the DVA, the Department of Veterans. And, you know, that was their 15% increase for the agency as a whole. That was not for that program, but that's what they're using as well. We increased by 15%. And then one of the talking points that I heard was this was just part of a wish list by the governor. I think that is so pathetic and so embarrassing that they would consider what we want to do to help veterans as a wish list.
Well, and especially here's the thing that gives it away that's not true. When they say, oh, we put 15% overall in the budget, the record is clear that they live to micromanage, and they will get right down into the line items and say, you can do this, but you can't do that. We've seen it in the literacy programs and in so many other things. And it sure sounds rather convenient that they can say, well, in this instance, we actually didn't want to micromanage. We just gave you a big pile of money and you do whatever you want with it. Said no Republican ever in the budget process until this got caught.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, it's excuses, making excuses, that which I think is which is dumb, because in a sense they're saying, oh yeah, we knew about it, but we thought this 15% was going to cover it. That's basically what they're saying, instead of saying, oops, that 1.9 million was overshadowed by the negotiations that took place with our Senate leader, Dianne Hesselbein, and the governor's office, that brought back funding for our universities, brought back half the money we needed for our child care facilities, and brought back, or actually raised, the special education funding, which was desperately needed for our public schools. We didn't get everything we wanted, but we got that. But that all overshadowed 1.9 million that they seem to want to ignore now
and make excuses for, it seems. So you've alluded to this, the fact that they needed Democratic votes to pass a budget. And so there was this agreement made, but as no doubt you are hearing, well, you heard from the very beginning, some of your colleagues, you know, voted no, saying, look, there's not enough there. And now, of course, we're hearing pushback from the childcare sector, from the education sector, from everything else. Now that you've looked at it all and you've taken in all of the reaction, looking at your minority status and what the governor is dealing with Republican leadership in the legislature, was this the best that could be hoped for when you have a bipartisan vote on a budget?
This was the best we could hope for. Just think about this. They came to us finally, kind of in the 11th hour, as we know, because with the Trump bill looming overhead that he was going to sign and remove any chance for us to capture $1 billion more in Medicaid funding, we were in a bind that which they put us in, the Republicans put us in, certainly. But with the chance to come to the table, because this is what I need to imagine, and I know, Pat, you can, that they were going to make it even worse to satisfy the worst of their caucus. There were five members of their caucus, which they often call the terrorists, were holding them hostage and saying they wanted even more cuts. They were going to cut $87 million from the university system already, which would have closed campuses. That was already in the works of closing campuses if that happened. They zeroed out childcare. They were not going to increase special ed funding for public schools, even though they were paying 90% to voucher schools. All of those are the biggies we came to the table with, along with more. We asked for more than that, but there was negotiations, as you know, and compromise in politics these days is rare, but it happened. And we got that compromise, and we the deal was if we can get certain things and get and move make this better instead of worse, we can find 5 votes on our in our Senate caucus and help you pass this bill. We made that arrangement, and the leader Diane Hesselbein and myself, assistant leader, were 2 of the 5 votes, and then we had to find 3 more, and I feel very confident that it was the right thing to do, because it would have been much, much worse if they would have had to go the other route and make it get their all their Republican votes.
Coming back to the micromanaging that Republicans were doing in the last budget, it included $15 million to help the Chippewa Valley after 2 hospitals and several clinics closed abruptly. And yet the Joint Finance Committee refused to release the money, having a temper tantrum about some of Governor Evers' line item vetoes. Was that $15 million put into this new budget, or is it now gone forever?
That is like a puff of smoke, Pat. It's just gone. They refused. I was another amendment on the floor that I introduced to. I even lowered it to $10 million. I said, on the floor said, hey, I'm trying to negotiate right here on the floor with you, but we've got to have some help. And they just weren't interested. Every Republican chose not to support that.
State Senator Jeff Smith is with us from the Eau Claire County town of Brunswick. So with the state budget behind us, obviously there's still a fall session. There'll be some in the spring as well next year before everybody goes back to campaign. What kind of priorities do you have when the legislature gets back in action?
Well, right now the Klein Hall and the Green Bay facility have taken a high level of a priority, because they will close at the end of September, apparently, if we don't get the funding. So I've introduced a bill as of yesterday to bring that money back and give us another chance to do this, to do the right thing. So hopefully that'll be pushed through fast. If we're right now in the process of gathering sponsorships, and hopefully we get sponsorships on both sides of the aisle. So that is an immediate urgent issue right now, and we'll come back and hopefully be able to do something right away on that. Otherwise, it's back to trying to make sure that we support our Chippewa Valley hospitals and medical facilities here, and also to, because of what happened in Washington, we're going to have real threats of other rural hospitals closing across the state. Now, as we warned after the Chippewa Valley crisis, that could happen. And so we all got to pull together on both sides of the aisle, all across the state, to ensure that people are able to access health care.
State Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire town of Brunswick. Thank you, Jeff. Good to talk to you as always.
Thanks,
a great day,
Pat.
Out there. All
have
right.
A good one.
Yep. We'll catch you later. One quick note on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. A lot of new feature stories get put up there. One I want to tell you about, 10 Wisconsin breweries making a difference. Little breweries that start their own grant programs, host fundraising events. They place an emphasis on sustainability, reduce their carbon footprints, even giving to groups that help abandon pets and animal sanctuaries. Imagine drinking beer to do good works. 10 breweries that make a difference. Look for that on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. A local update next for some of you. The rest come back here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin, are you feeling summer? Then it's time to feel cheesy with delicious fair food. Feel grand with Wisconsin's top exhibitors, from quilting to horse shows. Feel amped with live music at the Bank 5-9 Amphitheater and Main Stage. And if you're feeling gutsy, Spin City is calling your name. It's time to feel good, July 31st to August 10th, only at Wisconsin State Fair. Presented by U.S. Cellular.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped 4 seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Janet Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. On the table. Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of birds?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Buck. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Immigration, it is a complex and nuanced discussion, but it also is one we must have in this country. It is one we must look to experts, as well as those who are coming to this country, as they are also experts. So Jane and I decided to do just that, and we spoke to a man who's going through the process right now. He is an immigrant, he is a comedian, a comedy writer, and now an author of a book called America, Let Me In, A Choose Your Own Immigration Story. His name is Felipe Torres Medina, and he joined us to talk about his book, The Process of Immigration, and the hard and honest talk this country needs to have to come to a solution. And if you like what you hear, stick around at the end because I'm going to tell you more about Felipe actually being in town discussing this book at a local bookstore in Milwaukee.
We are very, very excited to be joined by our next guest, a comedian, a comedy writer, and now an author of America, Let Me In. Felipe Torres Medina is here. You are going to be in the area, correct, on the 10th?
Yes, on the 10th, I will be in Milwaukee at Boswell Books doing a book event with my wife, who is also an author and an Emmy Award-winning comedy writer. She writes for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And so we'll be in conversation talking a little bit about America and about my book about immigration, my funny book about immigration.
And that's an important thing to keep in mind. This is a very serious topic, obviously, especially in the days that we are living in right now. But you take a very lighthearted approach to explain to people all of the different processes people have to go through if they want to immigrate here, including, you know, there's, I had no idea, Felipe, until I looked at your book, how many different visas there are.
And that's not all of them. That's just the ones that I found like fun to write about. That's yeah.
I mean,
because there's a lot of really boring ones. Yeah.
There are, but there are exceptions. You know, for if a company wants to expand, if you want to come here to start a business, if you want to do, I mean, it is remarkable how I had no idea. I had no idea, and for me, a native of this country, if I find this confusing, I can only imagine how confusing it is for people who want to move here.
Well, it's funny because to me, what's really interesting, having been here and been an immigrant in this country for 12, 13 years, I came here in 2013, so 12 years almost now, is that Americans have a lot of opinions on immigration. Everyone in America has an opinion on immigration, but very few people know how the system really works. And you see it all the time in social media, and you see it all the time in conversation, with your neighbors, your friends. Everyone's like, oh, well, they just need to do this, they just need to do that.
Just
And it's
go
like,
through the
well,
process.
exactly. Do things the right way,
Right.
which to me is the biggest myth that exists out there, because the right way changes all the time, and the right way is, even now, we saw like day one of the second Trump administration, the right way was to apply for asylum using an app that the government had created. And they shut down that app within hours of the second administration starting. Now, you can debate whether that's good or bad. That's everyone's entitled to their opinion about what that is. But the truth of the matter, the objective truth, is that the right way was to do that. And they just decided, actually, that is no longer the right way. You cannot do that. So the idea of coming here the right way is such a myth, because it's shifting sands. It changes all the time.
And we see that, unfortunately, with people in certain immigrant populations that were granted, say, temporary protected status,
Yeah, like TPS,
TPS,
exactly.
and now that was legal. That was legal. These people are here legally. And then the Trump administration decided, yeah, we're going to revoke that TPS, and now they all have to leave. And they've been here for 20 years.
And I think it also is a testament to the failure of the system itself. This is supposed to be a funny book, and I really don't want to get too bogged down on the technicalities of everything, but TPS is in and of itself, it's in its name, it's temporary. And these people have been here for 20 years, and they should have a way to stay and to remain, and they've made this place their home. But what really this proves is that there hasn't been any comprehensive immigration reform in 30 years since Bill Clinton was president. And so we have a system that's like we've been papering over the cracks for 30 years, and all of a sudden it's become this thing where someone can just come in and say, like, well, I'm removing the temporary out of the temporary protected status. The temporary element is over. And so, oh crap, we should have done the reform so that this didn't happen.
Right.
One thing that I feel like, if you can take a step back, you see the left kick the can down the road because I feel like they were afraid to make hard choices or say the hard things out loud.
Yes.
Whereas Republicans now just get to say exactly what they've been thinking for a long time. And this is where we are because what they are doing seems like, quote, some movement. I mean, I just feel like as you just said, it's a failure of decades for both sides to really have a frank conversation about a topic that at the end of the day, not everyone is going to agree on a solution.
Yeah, 100%. And look, the system exists, and there are ways to do it. But I think a little bit of the point that I try to make in the book, and a little bit of the things that I want to point out, is the satire that exists in the book, is that the system works if you have money. That
Yes.
to me was like one of the biggest things that I found out doing all the research for the book. I found it out firsthand with my own immigration experience, but there's also all the other kinds of visas. And in truth, like, having money is the biggest hack.
That is just a small sample of the interview that Jane and I did with Felipe Torres Medina, who is the author of America Let Me In, A Choose Your Own Immigration Story. And he will be at Boswell Books on Downer in Milwaukee tomorrow, July 10th. And they will be covering all sorts of topics. So once again, it's at Boswell Books on Thursday, July 10th. Go to their website for more information. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'm going to talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The Senate passed a bill early today that would cut $9 billion in funding for foreign aid and public broadcasting. NPR CEO Catherine Maher.
This could fundamentally alter public radio as a national service in this country, and that would be a tremendous tragedy.
The measure returns to the House now. CBS News confirms the Trump administration has fired former FBI Director James Comey's daughter Maureen, a prosecutor in the Jeffrey Epstein case. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
By firing her, that actually might rile up more questions about what she did and what they found during that case.
Heavy rain and flash flooding expected along the Gulf Coast today. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
All of that Gulf moisture is going to find its way onto land. And so, unfortunately, there is the risk for flooding, especially tomorrow, but could see it today, particularly in Louisiana.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.